Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I file this under burying the lead. Last week, just as Rupert Murdoch was testifying before Parliament about the scandal enveloping his newspaper empire, FBI agents around the United States were raiding homes and seizing computers belonging to members of the collective known as Anonymous. In case you need a reminder, Anonymous is the group that, among other things, jammed the websites of Visa, PayPal, and other sites in retaliation for those companies suspending service to WikiLeaks. That's how WikiLeaks got their donations, then they couldn't. Interestingly, both cases revolved around acts that we label hacking. News of the World introduced phone hacking into the lexicon. Anonymous, of course, is built around computer hacking. But you couldn't ask for a more striking contrast in the use of the term. Anonymous adheres to our usual definition of hackers, a group of loosely affiliated individuals around the world working together to attack large business interests. Sometimes we use hacking more ominously for people who are out to just cause trouble and mess with your computers and others. So take a listen to a bit from a video that the group Anonymous released about itself. This is in a computery voice, so it's a little hard to understand, but we think it's worth it.
We are a decentralized, nonviolent resistance movement which seeks to restore the rule of law and fight back against the organized criminal class. We are not affiliated with either wing of the two-party oligarchy. We seek an end to the corrupted two-party system by ending the campaign finance and lobbying racket. Above all,
we're not affiliated with anyone in the two-party oligarchy. Here is former News of the World journalist Paul McMullen describing the hacking at that paper.
Technology is changing, because there's always going to be money there, there's always going to be freelancers, there's going to be paparazzi who are going to be prepared to put a little tracking device under someone's car, your car possibly. There's going to be people who are clever enough to know how to... apparently there's an app you can stick on a phone that when you text it will go to that paparazzi's text so he can read it. I mean, Hugh Grant said, how come they can read my texts? Every time I send one, there's someone waiting for me around the corner. So as technology develops, the people who want to make, you know, 10 grand plus by selling a story are going to develop with that.
Paul McMullen, former journalist at Murdoch's News of the World. So are they the same thing? If anyone has thought about the evolution of the hack, it's Doug Rushkoff. He was an early internet pioneer and is a longtime advocate of open source culture. He has watched the internet go from a place for hackers and outsiders to a corporate-controlled big media landscape. And all along the way, he has lectured, taught, and written. His latest book is Program or Be Programmed, 10 Commands for a Digital Age. Hey, Doug, welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, good to be with you.
So, News of the World hacking, Anonymous hacking, should we be using the same word?
I don't think so. I mean, to me, I find it disingenuous that the editor of News of the World will kind of equate what they were doing, what a giant news media corporation was doing with police and phone company help, with the notion of sort of little devious, slightly unprofessional criminals, as if what we have to do is kind of clamp down on all these individuals who are abusing this system. Whereas the reason why there's a case in Parliament is not because they hired a few private detectives or paparazzi or techno paparazzi, if we want to call it that, to spy on Hugh Grant. It's because, not because they were hacking, but because of the way they were using the system as it's designed to be used.
So the only one you would apply the term hacking to, because you see hacking in a somewhat positive sense, is Anonymous.
Yeah, and even in that case, I mean, hacking really, if we really want to define it, it's just repurposing technologies either against or kind of outside their original purpose. You know, you can hack your garden hose to be a sprinkler for kids. You know, you can hack anything to do anything. So, I mean, in one case, you know, there is a way to hack cell phones. In other words, you can hack the caller ID functionality of cell phones to let it tell you the voicemails that are in somebody's phone. That's one way to get something done. You know, if you're doing it to someone you don't know inappropriately, then you're cracking. If you're doing it to your own phone to try to hear your messages after you've forgotten your code, then it's hacking. But if you're paying the police to spy through existing cell phone company surveillance technologies on your political targets, that's not hacking at all. That's just using the existing phone system and legal structure in a corrupt fashion.
The Wall Street Journal editorial page has taken to drawing a connection between the News of the World hacking and WikiLeaks. They say they're both examples of media organizations pushing technological boundaries to gain secret information. No?
Yes and no. I mean, in the News Corp case, I mean, once you're really working through police, you know, to get the information, it doesn't, to my mind, it doesn't constitute hacking anymore. It's not like you get to gotten a laptop, you know, to through a phone system to get it to reveal something. I mean, you could call it social hacking or political hacking, but it's not really that anymore. And the thing that starts to concern me is, you know, when we get worried about hackers, when we get worried about people like Anonymous, when we're worried about the security of our cell phones, what we tend to do as consumers and citizens is rush to the safety of big corporations, of big government, of the police, to safeguard what we're doing. And in some cases, we're willing to surrender some privacy, like, all right, let them use the chip in my phone to confirm who I am so some hacker can't fake who I am. And if we're going to do that, then we've really got to trust the companies, the organizations, and the governments to whom we're surrendering this private information, that they're not going to be corrupt enough to sell it to a Murdoch.
What do you think about these arrests of members of Anonymous? If they really did break into websites like Visa and MasterCard and PayPal to disable them or gum them up in any way in retaliation for those companies cutting off WikiLeaks, did they commit a crime?
They committed a crime. I mean, yeah, but we live in a world where a senator can pick up the phone and tell a corporation to cut off someone or something from the internet, or to prevent people from being able to donate to a news organization or a political cause that they believe in, then we're no longer on a level playing field. So we could argue that these actions by Anonymous were justified because they feel, as many of us do, that we're living on a playing field where the rules are changed by those in power without our consent.
You gave us some history off the air. You wrote us a note that said corporate espionage is what gave the original hackers a bad name. Regular hackers were explorers. Talk about that.
Well, in the old days, you know, back
well, like
1997? Exactly. Back, or even, you know, the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, hackers were not people who were out to destroy things. I mean, the hackers that I knew, the kids who got in real trouble, were really just out to, like, let me see if I can change the thermostat in the shopping mall up 1 degree, you know. And do it from the safety of my own home. You know, let me see if I can somehow get this telephone system to let me call New Guinea for free. You know, it was really the adolescents, the sort of the young adolescents, were trying to explore the networks in the same way that kids explore their neighborhoods. It was a very natural feeling, fun extension of who they were. They were really not out to hurt things. They were very much just out to explore these networks and how they work. If I ping at a computer that way, what will it do back? How far can I get? And the people who really are as I see it, originally did wrong things, were a lot of those kids, the best ones, were hired by companies to spy on other companies.
Right.
There was, you know, auto companies spying on the plans of other auto companies. So the first cracking, as I understood it, really went on as hired guns for corporations.
In fact, here's a 30-second clip of discussion on Fox News the other day and how they contextualized the hacking at Fox's or Murdoch's News of the World.
What do you make of what this particular hacking scandal with the News of the World?
Well, the News of the World is a hacking scandal. It can't be denied. But the issue really is, why are so many people piling on at this point? We know it's a hacking scandal. Shouldn't we get beyond it and really deal with the issue of hacking? I mean, Citicorp has been hacked into, Bank of America has been hacked into, American Express has been hacked into, insurance companies have been hacked into. We've got a serious hacking problem in this country.
And all Fox News, I keep saying Fox News, Murdoch papers did were hack into regular people's voicemails. Interesting context.
Well, it is. I mean, and it's flipping what I think is the problem in this particular case.
It's the power dynamic flip, right? It's when the big companies get hacked into, then we've got a real problem. When it's a big company hacking into a dead girl's voicemail so they can make room for more messages, then that's somehow the same thing.
Right, and they're completely the opposite thing. And the danger here is that our fear of hackers will lead us to surrender even more of our privacy to the kinds of companies that we can't trust in the first place.
Well, hackers and crackers and Doug Rushkoff, who's I lost your book title. What's your most recent book?
Program or Be Programmed. Basically, the idea is that the more we understand about this, the less we can be fooled by rhetoric like some of what you were playing.
Doug, thanks a lot. Now, remember, listeners, coming up right now on itsafreecountry.org, we're going to have a live politics and personal financial advice chat about the debt ceiling that is right now on itsafreecountry.org. Brian Lehrer and WNYC.